I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Always hold on to Smallville. This podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman Show, the ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this time by Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What up?
So, Talisman, that's what we're talking about this week, and boy, did I forget what a bad episode this is.
Sure did, man.
I don't remember not liking it this much back in the day when we watched it.
Well, I think we acknowledged that it was a bad episode, but we found other enjoyments that we have inside jokes for. But yeah, this is a bad episode.
Yeah, so we had a friend. We had a friend in high school, and he was in Boy Scouts. And I don't know. I've never been in Boy Scouts, so you haven't.
No,
right. And I don't know if this is a Boy Scout thing or like a nature thing.
I think it was just a him thing.
Anything? Okay, well, he was really into like Native American stuff,
kind of like Clark.
And I think like this is when season three, again, everybody at school is watching Smallville.
Yeah.
So this was it. So he was really excited about this episode. And then like a couple weeks later, he brought this like this bin of Native American stuff. Like
it was
a headdress.
It was like after this episode.
A headdress and like a blanket and all the cliche things you can think. No Starblade, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, he brought it in like our history professor. What am I like? Professor Wilbur. No, our history teacher in high school like indulged. Oh yeah, sure. Come off to the show this off. Well, this is a blah, blah, and this is a blah, blah. I'm like, what is this? Anyway, so it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, that's another reason that this episode was so enjoyable to us back in the day. Yeah.
And the car he drove was a blue Jeep Cherokee, an old one.
The blue Jeep Cherokee, the very one you see destroyed, not only in this episode, but two episodes from now. And I think even more times in Smallville. Yes. I'll keep an eye. What is it with Jeep? How are you driving Jeeps?
Hey, man.
In Smallville, Lana's driving that Jeep, you know?
Jeeps are great, man. I'm part of the Jeep fam.
Yeah, that car is too small. I don't know how you drive that thing, man.
It's served me well so far.
I mean, it's a big car, but like it sits. There's not a lot of cockpit space, if you know what I'm saying.
That is true.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about it. This episode of Always Holding Small, we're brought to you by Jeep.
The Liberty.
See, that's how you know that Jeep is not a product placement. When Chloe got her car destroyed, they like made sure she wasn't driving the Volkswagen.
That's true.
But these Jeeps just keep blowing up.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's all good. It's all good, Jeep fam.
So, really, Memoria, one of the best episodes of the series, and then we get this the next week. What is it with that? You know,
I don't know.
Is it with like letting down
the fans?
Just what a letdown! Like you're like, oh man, what a. I think back to, like season one. It was like Leech, one of the best episodes of season one, and then it's like Kinetic is the next. I was like, what are you doing?
Yep.
I just, you know, Memoria was more cerebral episode. I mean, not even about the mind. I'm just saying, like, you know, less action, more emotion, all this stuff, you know. But with this, there was an attempt at action. You know,
yes.
The car blowing up. There was some...
A little bit of fighting.
Some good fight scenes, I think, for early Smallville. These are pretty good fight scenes. But it just... The episode is not good. And and in Smallville, the official companion season 3 by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold. Al Goff agrees. He says, John Snyder did a good job with a not very good script. It's one of those episodes where you like to go back and redo it. So it's not an episode about two older men, Willowbrook and Lionel, trailing around looking for a knife. If you'd never watched the show before, you'd have no idea what they were talking about. There was no entry point into that episode. We got too mythologized, and there was nothing for a younger audience. I mean, yeah, but even beyond that, it's just not a good episode.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, like, they explain some things, like, they drop some kind of, like, oh, well, you know, we got a Kyla reference.
We did.
Is this, like,
I was surprised.
It's not the only reference to Kyla since she died in Skinwalker, and then Professor Wilbert comes back, the Native American Dr. Swan.
Yes.
Because Dr. Swan's like, hello, Kyla. He's like, don't call me that. And he's like, hey, Namon, like, don't call me that.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Professor Willowbrook, played by Gordon DeTusis. Yeah, he's his second appearance. He returned from being in Skinwalker. He's also was in the X-Files, playing a Native American character. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
The X-Files, also famous, pretty much all science fiction, loves tapping into like Native American mythology, right? And they're very hit or miss. Because the X-Files, sometimes they did good, sometimes they did bad. The episode he was in, Teso dos Bichos, a terrible episode. I actually was on an episode of the X-Cast with my friend Brandon Shamatella talking about this. It just went live a couple weeks ago. And one of the worst episodes of the X-Files. And he plays a Native American like shaman with cat eyes. And it's about cats. Nah. And it's exactly what you would expect. Mark Snow does the music for Smallville and the X-Files. And he goes to that same bag of tricks of the whole Native American. You get the drums and the rattles. Like, it's like, all right, we get it. You know, we get it. Star Trek, also, very hit or miss. I thought a lot about Commander Chakotay in this episode, you know. I don't know what it is, but this episode right here is why people do not like the Kwatchi Caves, right?
I agree with that, yeah. This pretty much sums up everybody's, like, dislike and distaste for it in one fell swoop.
I mean, the Star Blade, right? That's
something that could have been cool.
Right. It's a cool Star Blade, right? It sounds like a bad 70s movie title. Like Laser Blast or something, right? Again, pre-Superman Returns mandate, we had Kryptonian technology that was like geometric shapes, inscribings on it, metallic objects. Looks like a lot of the whole, you know, Ancient Aliens or Roswell kind of stuff. You know, because, yeah, you know, the Roswell space, alleged spacecraft, the crash. People said, oh, it looked like it had Egyptian symbols on it, and it was this metal that you couldn't bend. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe they're getting some inspiration from that.
Stanagarian.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the whole... I'm sure... No, as we all know, the Smallville, listen to me. As we all know, Roswell, Smallville, both shows on the WB.
Yeah. Literally thousands. That's right.
As we all know, the Roswell spacecraft was Quark, Rom, and Nog.
Yes.
And Odo.
My man, Odo.
Well... If you haven't seen Little Green Men on Deep Space Nine,
please watch it.
Check it out. So the caves were here since season two, right? But this is really the first and only time they really revisit the whole Native American aspect of the caves. Mm-hmm. And they were after this, they're like, yeah, let's probably just leave that alone. But I don't know. They never followed any of this up. Because think about it, because they still talking about the caves later and for the next 2 or 3 years until they build the fortress set, and then we get some pictures of the caves in season 8.
That's
when
it.
They totally say, oh, Lex wasn't Sagith, Doomsday was Sagith. Terrible retcon from Jimmy, who was also not Jimmy. Spoilers.
Yeah.
Sorry, first-time listeners. My objective on this show, on this podcast, is to spoil every last twist of Smallville. So I hope I'm not disappointing. But anyway, point is, this is the last attempt to try and meld these together. And it just doesn't work because you can't have all these, like, oh, Saman and Sagith and Warrior Ranger and Deviliqus. And, you know, like, you can't have all, you got to pick one. And there's like, oh, that kind of parallels our lives. You can't have like 12 things in this universe. And the Native American thing just didn't work. Because think about it. Like, this guy 500 years ago, was it?
Yes.
Right? He fell from the sky and he took a wife of the Kwatchi people and all stuff. And I remember at the time, you know, we probably talked about this on the podcast of that episode, Skinwalker, but, you know, my theory, and there was a lot of fan theories, like, oh, maybe Superman, like, came back in time, mm-hmm. right? Something happened to Superman, he came back in time, he told these guys a story,
yeah.
And then he took out, and this is my little thing, I read this on a message board one time, and I loved it, and it was like, he took the little octagonal disc, and it was his belt buckle, you know, because he always kept, it was like his keys, like the key to his ship, and all mm-hmm. this stuff. Genius! That would have made the small costume a little different, right? So he took it out, and he, like, put it in the wall. Like, it's just an impression, mm-hmm. right? And so, because there's not computers behind these walls,
yeah.
okay? It's just the wall. And that would be cool. And then he, I don't know, went back. He flew forward in time really fast or something. I don't know. The point is, that would have made sense. But where does this prophecy stuff come from?
I don't know.
It makes no sense. So, I give the show a lot of crap for dropping plot lines, but this is one that's like, okay, you made a wise decision to drop it. Now, last week we had 6 deleted scenes in Memoria. This week we have 2.
Yes.
But let's just talk about these before the episode. I like, you know, when there's not a lot, it's like maybe one. I'm like, hey, by the way, there's this ultimate. You know, when there's more than one, it kind of recontextualizes everything. I'm kind of settling into talking about it before, especially last week. So we'll talk about that. But, you know, according to the companion, there's 3 deleted scenes.
Uh-oh.
So John Snyder directed this episode, and we'll talk more about that as we go here. But in the companion, Kristen Kirk said, John Schneider had a really great time directing from the look of it. He wanted to do it for such a long time, and it's great that he got the opportunity. A lot of that episode got cut, though. There was a big party sequence in there for Clark's birthday. Parentheses. Happily, it didn't stay on the cutting room floor forever. The scene is included as an extra on the Season 3 DVD box set, along with an extra confrontation between Holdsclaw and Lionel. So I guess they're kind of combining. They're acting like that's two different things. It's like, no. That was the same scene.
Yes.
That's not a third. That's not a third scene. I don't know. I mean, that's open to interpretation. Much like the prophecy of Naaman and Sagith. That's open to interpretation. But I read that, I was like, did we miss one? Like, oh, no. I guess technically, because him showing up outside the car counts as another scene. Probably.
Oh.
But that confrontation is in the episode.
Yeah, the exact same thing.
They must have meant Lex. I don't know. Is it Lex or Lionel? Who's Sagith?
They
both grabbed the thing. Anyway, we'll talk about that. So, first deleted scene. Interesting. It's the rest of the deleted scene from Memoria, where Lana opens the letter, and it gets it. Because I thought it was real weird, the deleted scene from Memoria. Like, Chloe's like, you got the letter, and she, like, opens it, and that's it. We don't see what happens, we don't see anything after that. But this, we do see that. Like, I guess they kept trying to salvage this scene, it didn't matter. She opens up the letter, she gets accepted.
To the Paris School of the Arts.
Yeah, what generic-ass name. And Chloe and her are talking like, oh, well, Lana can't afford to go, right? So Chloe tells Lana, why don't you ask Lex? And no, I don't want a gift. I want to do this myself. And Chloe's like, well, me and my dad could buy it. And all these, and it sounds like
episode one, the plot.
You can buy the plot and they can think it was yours and I'll fly it for you. And it's some convoluted thing. And Chloe's like, me and my dad will buy the talent. And Lana's like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And she's right. So I'm glad she shut that down real quick. In that plot line, well, basically, we see more of that in the episode, but this scene was well cut.
Yeah.
Because it didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Clark's surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
And
the first question is, who are all those other people at this party?
Clark's a popular guy. It's cool.
I mean, apparently, I guess. This is pre-football, too. Spoilers. Like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I just don't understand. Like, Clark talks to, like, three people at school.
Well, what struck me even more is, like, there's a scene following up the deleted scene where Lana goes to talk to Lex because he had, and we'll get into it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, he sends, what's her name from Arrow?
Jean Loring?
Well, yeah, I guess that is her name.
Yeah.
From Arrow, who should be the Adams wife.
Yes.
I love what Craig Byrne from Krypton said. He's like, I want Ray Palmer to get lost in time somewhere and meet a younger Jane Laurie, like in the 80s,
uh-huh.
And then they're like together, and then she's older now. That would make sense, right? Because what was his fiance's name, like Anne or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. His fiance's name was Kate Bosworth. And so the follow-up to that scene is Lana goes to confront Lex, and like, somebody came to buy the town. But they're walking around Luther Mansion, and there's this like extravagant party being set up.
Yes.
There's an ice sculpture. And balloons.
And all these presents.
And you're like, what is this? Like, and I didn't realize in the episode, like, they never follow
mention
up on
it.
This.
Yeah.
Like, it is just, Lex is just having a party, at the mansion. And you're like,
apparently.
Okay. You know what? Fair enough. Parties happen in the Luther Mansion.
Okay.
They cleverly, I think they really cleverly edited it around it, in my opinion. So I give them credit because it doesn't really stick out once you stop to think about, wait a minute. What was that party?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a surprise party for Clark. Everybody's there. They're all hiding. I don't know when in the episode this is going to show, but Pete and Chloe are mad at each other.
Well, Pete is mad at Chloe.
She's like, she like tries to touch his arm. Like,
uh-huh.
He like hides under a different table. Somebody comes in. You see it like in silhouette and looks like Clark.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, man, this guy really is like the Native American Tom Welling. He's got the haircut and everything, right? Terrible actor, this guy. What was the actor's name, by the way, played Jeremiah?
Nathaniel Arkind.
And what else has he done?
He has been, let's see, he was like stunts in The Revenant. He was He was in Elektra, which came out just a little bit after his Smallville appearance.
Did you ever see Elektra?
No.
Me either. Is that like the only superhero movie you've never seen?
I think so. What else has this dude been in? He was in an episode of Supernatural.
Of course he was.
Of course he was. He's in an episode of Bull. That's his most current
Bull.
Thing. And then the best thing, He's in a TV show called Jeremiah.
Of course he is.
No joke.
Jeremiah. Yeah, not a good actor.
Yeah, 2002. It was a TV series. He's in one episode.
Anyway, he comes in and he's like, "Where's your father?" Because, you know, Lionel and him have this whole thing going on in the episode. Lex doesn't tell him. Lex kind of looks at Lana.
Yeah.
And he's like, and this guy's just somebody special. Like, is this episode, again, like, it's like slowly, it's like,
it
the, it's like the frog in the pot and they're turning up the heat on the Lexana, right?
Yeah,
which is
are.
Like, whoa, what is she, like 17?
She is 17. Like, they're seven, they're juniors.
And he's like, I don't know, we established Lex is like, let's see, he was 21, two, he, Lex is like 24-ish.
Yeah.
In this episode. Anyway. Yeah, he like, so he like holds Amlana by her neck.
Yeah.
You know, like Darth Vader style against the wall. And he does that for so long, she would totally be dead.
Yeah.
Like, she would totally be dead. But then Lex has to call Lionel on the speakerphone.
Yeah.
And he's, it's so long and convoluted. And I can totally see why they cut it. And this is like, I think both these scenes together were like 5.5 minutes. I'm like,
yeah, it was
long. Where do you think this was going to go? Good thing these scenes were not very good and they could just take them out.
Yeah.
Because damn, like, these scenes were not good. But it's hard to just take 5 minutes out. So I guess they had, well, they had enough material, I guess.
They did. Somehow.
But yeah, and then Lex is talking to Lionel on the speakerphone. Lionel tells him where he is. Jeremiah goes and super speeds over to the limo and has that confrontation with Lionel that the companion teases that we see in the episode. And then he kidnaps him, and that's that. So those are your two deleted scenes. Very notable for Clark's. Nice to see Clark have a birthday, because we remember in season 5, we always laugh about that because it was like Clark's birthday, and it's his mom, Chloe,
and Lois,
and her cousin Lois, who is not friends with Clark really at this point. He's just kind of hanging around. It's like, what a sad. So this, at least for this birthday, all these anonymous extras, these are the same people that show up at, spoilers, Clark and Lois's wedding.
Oh my
series
god!
Finale, it's the same. It's these same people. Those were deleted scenes. I'm glad they were deleted. And that, you know, again, I think they did a pretty good job. You know, there's a lot of ADR work in the, when the Kents come home, right, in the revive Clark, because clearly they're like, oh, Lex called last night, you know, right? But it doesn't sound like ADR. Usually it's like, all the Chloe stuff with Lana does sound like ADR. It's like, you should call Lex. Like, yeah. It just sounds out of place. But they did a good job when the Kents come home. So anyway, that's your backstory there. Let's jump into it. Can't wait. Talisman.
Here for the prospective students tour, Clark?
Did you do this?
Now, what possible reason would I have to ransack the office of an obscure teaching assistant?
Then tell me why you're here.
You first.
Jeremiah was going to help me with a term paper.
Term paper. So your visit doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he went ballistic in the caves last night and absconded with a sacred Kwachi artifact?
I didn't know.
I'm surprised. I mean, usually keep such a close eye on everything that happens in the caves. For those term papers you're always writing.
You still haven't told me why you're here.
Well, according to the legend of Naman and Sagith, this missing artifact bestows extraordinary abilities on whoever possesses it.
You don't really believe that.
I like to keep my mind open to extreme possibilities.
You're starting to sound like your father.
Guess I should be offended, but, it looks like he's beaten us both to the punch. Tell me something, Clark. You have any idea what this might be? Oh, if you find your friend, tell him I'd like to meet him. And good luck with your term paper.
Talisman is the 20th episode of Smallville's third season. It aired on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2004. Written by Kenneth Biller and directed by John Schneider. So I'm very disappointed in Kenneth Biller.
Yeah.
Kenneth Biller, he wrote and directed Calling back in season 2, which one of the best episodes of the show, and I don't know what went wrong. Kenneth Beller. He also co-wrote Insurgents with Jeff Loeb. You know, okay. So he has a good track record on Smallville, but he just mailed this one in or what? This feels like just a remix of a lot of other Smallville episodes.
In a
lot
of ways.
Not done as well. It's like it's a little bit of Leech, a little bit of Skinwalker. It's a little bit of generic Smallville stuff going on. Clark almost dies and gets resurrected by Krypton. I mean, he doesn't die, so I'm not a main character.
After
death,
being stabbed. Right? Well, see, Salvation takes some of that.
Yeah, Salvation, you know, Hidden kind of takes some of that as well. Yeah. That was after. But they were all done. Those episodes were much better than this.
Yes, they were.
I think this might have been his last credit. Not that he was, fired or anything after this. He probably moved on to other things. But I don't see any... I'm going to look that up real quick. Ken Biller. This is live. Live Smallville. Always on the Smallville Unplugged.
All right.
Let's see. Writers. Kenneth Biller. Compelling radio, I know. This was his last episode. You know what other episode he wrote this season, Lance?
No.
Shattered.
God.
This guy is feast or famine. So really, this is his Smallville. This is his Smallville track record here: Lineage, Insurgents, Calling, Shattered. That's like 4 for 4.
Yep.
You're batting 1,000, and then you pop up to the catcher with this Talisman. Man, what are you doing, Ken Biller? You know, did you? Not only did he write several episodes of Star Trek Voyager, he also wrote Star Trek: The Experience, The Klingon Encounter, The Ride at Star Trek Las Vegas. My man.
Way to go.
Anyway, enough about it. Hey, Ken, you know what? You did a lot of good work on Smallville. We're going to get off your case.
Yes.
But clearly, you just kind of wrote this one walking out the door. Just dropped it off. You can see how we're just talking about other things in the episode itself. So the episode starts out, and Lionel and his people are in the caves, and we Professor Willowbrook.
Yes, and one of his top graduate assistants.
Jeremiah.
Comes in.
And Jeremiah is no fan of Lionel Luther. He's like, this is our Kwachi land. Yeah. What are they doing down here?
Well, see, with him, I love the longstanding Smallville tradition of not shaking a Luthor's hand.
Right.
I just love that. Because it's so disrespectful, but it's so subtle, though. It's just it's a nice way of expressing that.
Yeah, I mean, Lex or Lionel. Maybe
yes,
people
exactly.
on the show just, I mean, Jonathan started it, right?
Yes, he did.
In the pilot.
He
did. Not shaking Lex's hand. So, yeah, Lionel's like, oh, Professor Willowbrook, thank you for coming at such short notice. And I didn't know you were ringing someone, but that's
someone
fine.
Else? Cool.
And he's like, perhaps Jeremiah can help us interpret, blah, 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 right? So they pull out this...
He kind of looks like Cisco also, at the beginning.
Cisco
of the episode.
Ramon?
Yeah, with the,
oh, at
the beginning
of the
episode.
Glasses.
Yeah, the glasses and the hair, the way he has his hair at the beginning.
Well, also, it's like a Clark Kent thing, right?
Yeah.
And also, again, Leech, right? Look at this guy with glasses, and now he doesn't need glasses. Ugh, you know, ripping off the Spider-Man, you know? I mean, I know that's not what they're doing, but it kind of is what they're doing. But so they find this, you know, it looks like just a...
Looks like a slab.
Just a slab, you know, some kind of, you know, generic art. I assume it has some writing on it. You can't really get a good look at it.
Yeah.
What did you call it? Like, starts with a P. Like,
Pollock.
What is Pollock? Because Jeremiah's like, oh my God, it's Pollock.
I know.
And Lionel's like, what's Pollock? And Willowbrook's like, cookware. Oh, just cookware.
Traditional Kwachi cookware.
Lionel's like, cookware.
Yep.
Jeremiah, what do you think it is? And then Jeremiah takes like, no, this is Kwachi territory. Kwachi, you guys get out of here. And he starts talking crazy. And then he... I don't know if it breaks open itself.
He breaks it open.
He
picks up a rock
open.
And smashes it against it.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
So obviously they know what it is.
Duh.
So he takes it and it's the Star Blade and it's glowing. And then he gets powers because Lionel's like, give me the knife. And then he pushes him 30 feet.
Yes.
Already doing the Clark move. good job on Lionel's security people. They just shoot this guy straight up. And I'm like, all right. I can see.
Asking questions later.
Well, their boss was just attacked.
Yes.
So, on their own property.
Yes, by somebody
with a weapon.
With a weapon.
All right. They didn't ask him to drop it, though. They just, but this
they just
is,
shot
you know,
it.
This is Luther's private security. So, I think they're doing their job quite nicely, if you ask me.
No, I agree. No, they just saw a dude, with a magical knife, throw their boss 30 feet with no problem.
And lucky for Jeremiah, he's inherited the Kryptonian ability of being bulletproof.
Yes.
He's invincible. So he does that, and then he, of course, super speeds off. And I was like, get fight him, bring me the knife. Somebody save me. You know? And then we come back, and where do we come back to, Lance?
Kent Farm.
Kent Farm. It's just a lazy day at the Kent Farm. Clark is just walking around his loft, reading a book or something, as he does.
Yeah.
I assume this is a Saturday. I don't know. But Professor Wilbert comes in. And he's like, "Hello, Lamar."
He's already there, and like Clark is like, "I was like, are you gonna like pick up the fact that he's here?" Like
super hearing. Well, I was gonna say he has super hearing now, so no excuse.
Exactly.
So he's like, "Hello, Lamar." He's like, "Oh, don't call me then, Red Demond." Again, he's totally like the Native American Christopher Reeve. Again, he's like Kal-El, Demond, whatever. Clark just, you know, there are some good lines in this episode. I will say, later on, Wilbert tells him like Jeremiah desperately wants to be someone he's not, and you just like don't want to be someone you are. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, that's, you know, that's pretty good. There's a little kernels of goodness in this ridiculous episode.
Yes.
But Willowbrook kind of gives him the 411 on everything, and he's like, "Oh, sorry, I haven't visited. You know, life's been busy, man."
Between school and the farm, you know.
Now he was Kayla's grandpa, right?
I think so.
Yeah, they don't really mention her. Martha mentions her later. Well, that's it. I think they probably should have mentioned her more.
Well, Martha, like, keeps, you know, the 401 on all of like these girls in Clark's life.
Right. But she's like the biggest clown shipper ever.
Yeah, she is.
It's like, Lana, you want to stay for dinner? She was just leaving, Mom. Talk about bad continuity. Let's give Smallville some credit. Good continuity. Lionel still has a little scar on his cheek.
Yes.
I'm beginning to think John Glover really got hit in the face by that shotgun.
He might have been.
In Legacy, because the continuity is too good. This is the best the show has ever done in continuity. But they're talking about this, and then Clark goes to talk to the Kents about it.
Yeah, he has a book, and he's talking about the, you know, the legend.
The Starblade.
Yeah.
And then they talk about, you know, Sagith and, you know, and all that stuff. And Clark's like, "Oh, it's an oral tradition. It's open to many
interpretations."
So we get that set over there. And then what happens next?
We have a hospital visit.
We do have a hospital visit. Again, plus one for hospital visit. And we have Lionel Luther, John Glover, cut as can be.
Yes, he is.
I wish I was in that good shape, and I'm half his age right now. But he's getting, you know, patched up, and then Lex comes in. He's very concerned about his health, right?
Yeah, and it was just like, I mean, it's always a great scene with those two, and Lionel expresses his interest in Lex's, all of a sudden, concern. I think my favorite quote from Lex in this is, he's like, "Why don't you let me use some of my law enforcement relationships?" And I was like, that's such an interesting way of saying, like, you know, like your people or your unseen connection there.
People don't talk this way.
Yes, exactly. My law enforcement relationship.
Well, and then I don't know, Lionel, maybe he's losing his edge here, but because he kind of believes Lex, like sort of.
I'm
not sure.
But I think it's part of his, it might have been part of his way of just kind of dismissing him, because he knows Lex is probably gonna get onto him at some point.
Right. So Lionel, yeah, he's like, "Just drop the cane. The only thing more bruised than my ribs is my ego."
Yeah.
And then he leaves, not even fully dressed. But hey, if I look like Lionel, I wouldn't be fully dressed here walking out of the hospital, right? So good on you, John Glover.
This is when we get the scene with Chloe and Lana the Talon with her acceptance letter to the Paris School of the Arts.
This is the lead scene.
No, that actually happened in the episode. Because you were like, make a note. This is, you know, the scene from last week, and they go into detail about stuff.
Let's rewind.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so what was the deleted scene?
The deleted scene was again them talking, but this is it's basically kind of the same.
I don't know which scene was which, because these scenes were so similar.
Yes.
But it was Lana and Chloe and the Talon talking about her acceptance to Paris, right?
Yeah, like because this time she actually opens the letter, and then
she opens it here.
Yeah.
Okay, the deleted scene is like a follow up to this scene, I think.
Possibly.
Just watch the DVDs, people. Figure it out. But this is just... Okay, that's right. Because the end of the deleted scene from the last episode that we didn't see is now in this episode properly, right? Yeah. And she got accepted.
She gets accepted, but she's like, they didn't give her me in my financial aid, which means I can't go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what it is. And the deleted scene part is her suggesting that Chloe, that her and her dad buy it. But we don't hear that in the real episode.
No.
Until Lana mentions it to Lex at the end.
Yeah, so, here she's here Chloe just kind of like encourages her to ask Lex to help her out. And Chloe's just like, you know that Lex would. What are they
implying here with them? Because, you know, I'll say this, back all the way back in like Nicodemus.
Yes.
There was something going on with these two. So do you think they're just turning up here? What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
So I think Chloe knows that like that Lex probably knows that she's special and thinks that she's special. In what capacity? I'm not sure. Because we find out later in the episode Lex's actual feelings at the moment. Now, granted, they change over time, but here, I think he just appreciates that, Lana is, somebody that doesn't bring any drama into his life, really. And granted, the fact that she's, a pretty young girl doesn't hurt, but
it's a nice, innocent, very brotherly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is. So, but you can tell that there's definitely something like Chloe knows that
that
Lex would do something would go the extra mile for her.
You know that they were thinking this the whole time, when they write in the show, everyone loves you, right? Oh my god,
yeah,
a woman. He sent me a phone for a woman. Why does it have to be that? I can't just be these people had a falling out because the ideology or this or that, yes. But we'll talk about more about that as the show progresses. But anyway, I hadn't realized that they were just turning up the heat on this.
Oh yeah.
Even in season three, because Lex, again, he had Helen going on in season two, I liked him with contemporaries and not these
same
high school kids.
Girls. Yeah. That'll be an issue next season.
That's a big issue. But anyway, moving on.
So the next thing that we get is Clark at his college of choice.
Yeah, yes! Central Kansas A&M. I don't know if this is a real school. Let's look it up right now.
All
right,
cool.
Live and uncut. Always on this model. Let's see. Central. You can hear me typing, so it's legit. Central Kansas A&M. Okay, the first three are Central Kansas A&M from the Smallville Wiki.
Excellent.
Central Kansas A&M, a Krypton site forums thing, and then list of colleges and universities in Kansas Wikipedia. Okay, let me go to this one. Central Kansas A&M University Facebook page has 11 likes. Guessing this is a Smallville fan page of some kind. It's
liked by Kristen Kirk.
And it totally is.
James Marsters.
11 people like this. There was no about. The link is to Smallville Wiki page. Central. So there is no Central. You, all you Smallville fans out there, I'm sorry to break it, dude. You cannot apply to Central Kansas A&M University. But yeah, so this is where Clark ends up going to college. If for no other reason, they made this sign.
Yes.
And they had it laying around, and they decided, you know what? Clark's going to go here because we're going to use this sign. So he goes. This is a great scene, though.
It is. It's so good.
Because he goes into...
Willowbrook's.
No, not Willowbrook. No, no.
Jeremiah's office.
Holding Claw, right?
Yeah.
Holds Claw. Again, with the names, right? But he goes into his office, which is a really nice office, like a TA or something.
Yeah,
right?
My
a
office
student?
As a TA was not like that. It was literally in the basement, in the bottom, in the corner, not to be seen.
This guy has a great office. And it's been ransacked, but movie ransacked.
Yes.
It's a few things out of place. Some tables are open and stuff.
Yeah. And then Lex has the best line. He's like, here for the prospective students tour, Clark. I love it.
This is a great, this is at the point where Clark and Lex, they know they're always lying to each other, where they're still cool with each other. So they kind of both let it go.
Yeah.
But all the stuff, Lex is just dropping so much shade. Cause Clark's like, Jeremiah was going to help me
with the term paper.
Yeah. Lex is like,
yeah,
he just he puts his hand in his mouth. He's like, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Oh, so it has nothing to do with the fact that Jeremiah got supernatural powers from an artifact last night." And Clark's like, "I hadn't heard about that." And Lex is like, "Wow, you always get such a close eye at everything that goes on in those caves, for those term papers you're always writing." So again, there's kernels of just great stuff, enjoyable back and forth in this episode. So basically, it's just, hey, this is dangerous. We need to find him, blah, 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 blah.
And then, so after that scene, when Lex
But he closes the blinds, though.
Oh, so that's right. So he, because he's, Clark accuses him of, he's like, you're starting to sound like your father. Because, Lex is, really kind of doing a deep dive into this. And Lex is like, I like to keep my mind open to extreme possibilities. Mm-hmm. And that's when he closes the blinds, and then it reveals a symbol.
Which I thought was going to be a Kryptonian symbol.
Me too.
But it was not.
Yeah.
And why is it there?
I don't know.
Because he was studying it?
Apparently.
For his own term paper?
I guess. Well, he was, because it's what he's doing his master's thesis on.
Did Ken Miller, like, just go to grad school or something?
Maybe.
Oh, man. So, my goodness. It's a cool visual.
Yes.
I like their I don't know how much it was in the writing and how much in the directing. By the way, John Schneider, I think he did a pretty good job directing this episode. We'll talk about it more as we go on, but yeah. That's why he wasn't in the last... Most of the last couple episodes, because he was preparing to direct this one. That was a cool, like, let's going, you know, window to window, closing it.
Yeah.
I don't know why he thought to do that.
I don't know either.
But we see that symbol. So meanwhile, at the college campus, we have Lionel talking to Professor Willowbrook, and he wants to get the Star
More information
Blade.
On the Star Blade.
He wants him to communicate with Jeremiah to get in
and bring it to him.
And he's like, I have a lot of influence around here. He's like, is that a threat? He's like, no, I'm just saying I can give you a lot of funding if you help me out here. And he's like, well, that doesn't belong to you either.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yes, tell me about Sakeeth, right? Because at this point, Willowbrook explains to him, hey, if it falls into the wrong hands,
it'll disappear.
Yeah, it'll disintegrate or something like that, yeah. Right? And he's like, well, tell me more about Sakeeth.
Yeah. He's like, he's so into
it. He's the bringer, and then Wilbur's like, he's the bringer of darkness and destruction. And then meanwhile,
Clark walks by, and he's like, oh, Clark, what a nice surprise to see you here.
And then just leaves.
Yeah, he just leaves. And I just love how Clark's like, what's he doing here? It's so good. I love it.
And he goes into Mon again. He's like, all right, hey, man, I'm not Mon. We cut that out in public. Right?
Uh-huh.
And so they talk more.
They talk more, and then Clark shows Willowbrook the drawing. Like, he does a drawing of the symbol that was
like,
on the blinds.
I tried to draw it. I love, this is the era before everybody had a camera phone.
Yes.
You would just be like, oh, let me take a picture of this.
Uh-huh.
So then he tries to draw the drawing. He's like, oh, no, I know exactly what this is. It's a burial ground or something, right?
It's the slumbering place.
Slumbering place.
And I was like, is it the sunken place?
Boom, 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 get out. So.
Stay woke.
So since Wilbur knows where this is, they know where to find Jeremiah. And we cut to, you know, the middle of the Canadian woods, as you do on Smallville.
And then Jeremiah is doing Jeremiah Starblade Tai Chi.
He's doing Tai Chi. Reminds me of like Worf's Tai Chi class.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just like, I don't know if this is really... I don't know if this is really martial arts. I think you're just like, I don't know. But he's just like working out or whatever with it. And then they pull up in this blue Jeep, which I guess is Professor Wilbrick's Jeep, which I believe this guy had a Jeep like this.
I agree.
And
it's like Jeremiah.
Yeah, so they try
Jeremiah
to...
Jeremiah doesn't exist anymore.
It's like, what is it? I think, okay, so this episode came out in 2004. And I think George Lucas watched this episode before he wrote episode 3. Because basically this kid is like Jeremiah. He's like literally Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
He's like, I listened to you my whole life, Professor Willowbrook. You're just holding me back because you're afraid how powerful I am.
You don't know my power.
Yeah. And they're like, Jeremiah, it's twisted your mind, you know? It's like, I do not fear the dark side as you do. It's like, seriously, like this is just another version.
I have the high ground.
Yeah, he does have the high ground here. Right? So... He's basically telling him, I am Namon. I have the power. He basically just copied and pasted the Skinwalker script. He's like, I have the strength of 10 men.
Uh-huh.
I can shoot fire from my eyes. Like, that exact A to B, right? I don't know why Clark thinks this was going to work.
Yeah, it was
because
a really bad
idea. Been established he has super strength, because his parents asked him, like, what kind of powers does he have? He's like, well, so far, speed, invulnerability, and super strength, right?
Yeah.
So he tries to, you know, burn the blade so he drops it. You know, with his heat vision.
Yeah.
But again, he's invincible, so of course it's not going to hurt him, Clark. So then he, like, grabs the other part of the blade. Right?
Yeah, to show that, this does not hurt.
And then he uses his own heat vision
to blow up the
Jeep. And then he runs off during the explosion. So, good thing he didn't know how to fly. That's the thing about all these people getting Clark's powers, right? Like, Jonathan didn't fly.
Yep.
Eric Summers didn't fly. I guess it's because, well, no, see, okay, I will allow that, like, Eric Summers in Leech,
okay,
he only got the powers that Clark had at the time. That makes sense. So that's fine, right? But then Jor-El gave Jonathan powers, right? And this guy got powers from the Starblade, so you can't use that excuse, because, like, it's when Zod possesses Lex, again with the spoilers, right, like I say. It's okay, real Zod shows up later. There's two of everything. Two reverse flashes, two black canaries. That was like four black canaries now.
It's like, who knows? There's two arrows. There's more than one arrow.
Two death strokes.
Yep.
So anyway, he can fly, right? Mm-hmm. And then Super Bowl can fly.
Yep.
Tony Show, they can fly. Zor-El can fly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So Jeremiah can't fly, though, because we don't have a budget for that. No. So, cut commercial, we come back, and
we're in the Kent farm again, and Clark's just kind of explaining the situation, and that's where he has his, like, I just want to be Clark Kent,
right.
You know?
So that is such a trailer montage line, right? He's like, Joel wants to be a Kryptonian warrior, Will Brook thinks I'm a savior, you know? And, you know, his parents are very encouraging. Right,
yes, as per usual. And, how except for when Clark is like, we need to warn Lionel.
And John's like, no.
Nah. He has a point, though. He doesn't want, like, you know, Lionel to have, you know, have it just anyway.
He has a point. That's fine. But we all know why he really doesn't want to warn Lionel. But they come to the really stupid conclusion that, oh, if he has all your abilities, he might have your weaknesses, too.
Ah.
But, okay, again, I go back to Leech, right? Mm-hmm. And the kryptonite hurts him. But again, he got the powers from Clark.
Yes.
So, that to me, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But in this episode, Clark had nothing to do with this guy getting his powers.
Yes.
So, I don't think the kryptonite would hurt him because he's a human, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, so... So I love what happens here.
Yes.
And, well, we're not there yet, we're right? Because I think he's walking around with the kryptonite in his... We don't... You know, this is a nice gradual reveal. Because we see Clark, like, walking through the barn, and he has a little box that we know that we keep the kryptonite in. A little lead box. You have any doubts or fears? Take them, and you put them in this box. Man, anyway, they should have kept... See, I guess, who has that box now? Let's think about this. because, you know, we came back in Memorial, so I'm thinking about it. Let's think about the chronology. So, at the end of Leech, Clark gives Lana back the necklace in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Visage... I know we see the necklace. We see the box. But she takes the necklace out, and fake Whitney gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clark, it turns to clear. And then I guess he just keeps it. So I guess Lana still has his box at this point.
Yeah.
I do wonder if we ever see do we ever see the lead box again?
I don't know.
We see it in the flashbacks in season 8.
Yes.
I forgot about that till just now.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Look at you, season 8, trying to work in Lex. Good job. Nice try. But I don't think we ever see it in anymore in like the quote unquote present.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, but Lana still has it. I'm gonna say when Lana's going through Clark's room and finds the clear necklace.
I forgot about that. Yep. Oh my God.
Oh
wow.
Looking forward to talking about that season. And episode what is that? What episode is that? That's in season 6 sometime. She's staying with the kids for some reason, and she's going through all this stuff.
Because
that's what people do when they leave them alone in your place. So put locks on your phone, people. I'm telling you. Anyway. So is this when Lionel comes up to Clark, though?
No. That's a little bit later. Right now, we go to the Talon, and that's when we see Jean Loring trying to, like, looking at the Talon and, like, telling some, you know, Trevor-looking dude, that, you know, the Egyptian decor is not great and blah, blah, blah. Make note of that. And then Lana's like, excuse me, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, you know, we're selling the Talon, blah, blah, blah. And that's when she finds out that Lex is selling it.
Now, explain the Jean Laurie reference.
Okay, so the woman who is dressed in all pink right there and who's, you know, been charged with, you know, trying to sell the Talon, she plays Jean Loring on Arrow. She is Oliver Queen's lawyer. And
Oliver Queen's lawyer before her.
Yes.
So that's some good continuity
it
there.
Yes, right? Like they kept her around. Jean Loring in the comic books is the Atom, Ray Palmer's wife, who is basically the main focus, spoiler, of the Brad Meltzer Justice League book, Identity Crisis, which is a really good Justice League story.
Not only did we spoil Smallville, we spoiled DC comic plot lines on this podcast. So, probably my favorite crisis.
Right. I would agree.
It's the most like contained story of all the crises.
It's probably the
right?
best. It's honestly, it's my favorite Justice League story. Mm. So read it if you haven't already.
Yeah. And sorry for the spoiler.
Sorry. I didn't spoil the main thing. I just said that she's a focus.
Well, anyway.
Anyway. So, but yeah, they got Terrell Rothery is the actress's
Excuse me?
Name. Terrell. Yeah.
No, what's her last name?
Rothery.
Okay. Brandon Roth.
Oh.
Plays the Atom.
Uh-oh.
That's a stretch. But anyway.
Just a little bit.
It was because we were watching like, whoa, that's her.
Yeah.
And that's good on you, CW, for keeping these character actresses around.
Yeah.
So.
And I also know her from, you know, various Hallmark Channel movies.
Okay. Moving on.
Yep. listeners, you already know this about me.
So, you know, Lana's real upset about that. She's like, what do you mean they're selling a talent? She's like, oh, yeah, Lex Luthor's on the talent. And this is them, like, patching together them cutting out this other plot line, right? So there are some gaps, I guess, but they're not. I think it holds together okay. It's because we've seen all these deleted scenes now. I'm, like, thinking about, like, again, you hear me on here. I was confused about what deleted and what wasn't. So she's not having it. So she, what do people do in the show? They barge into Luthor Mansion
and confront Lex.
Lex Luthor, and they have a bone to pick.
Yes,
with this guy who is financing their life. What happens?
And Solana just barges in, and she's like, "How could you do this without consulting me?" And that's when he's just like, "Well, I mean, you're going to Paris, so like, you know, like, what do you, what else?"
She's
do you
like,
want
"I will not
do?
Have the talent be turned to a Kinko's."
Yeah,
which is what a topical reference, a FedEx Express from these days. And as they're walking around here, there's this party.
They're setting up for a party.
As we talked about earlier with the deleted scenes. Yeah, well, just thinking about it now, it's like, what is this? Uh-huh. You know, especially in the episode. They're very lucky that because they do a lot of like shots of them just walking around.
Yeah.
They're very lucky they didn't mention anything about like what this. The red light was on giant signs.
Happy birthday, Clark. Clark. Yeah.
You know? Because it shows up later. But anyway, again, like I said earlier, you could. Like, oh, Lex was having a thing. It's a, you know, whatever.
With this, it's a high society.
This,
party,
you know,
whatever.
what would Clark love more than a sculpted ice
swan?
Yeah, whatever that is. Watching Groundhog Day too many times, Lex. But anyway, you know, Lex makes a good point. He's like, look, talents make that much money. She's like, why'd you keep it open all these years? And it's like, well, I think that should be obvious.
I did it for you.
Did it for you, Lana. Came across time for you, Lana. So, like, yep. Again, like I
they should just put that music on right like
well,
when that started.
I'm thinking like it's like watching The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. right? And I'm thinking, all right, Rey is gonna be a Skywalker of some kind because that's what they should have done. And and I'm like, oh, her and Kylo Ren are connected because they're related, right? Mm-hmm. It's gonna be this revelation, right? And then they don't do that. And then you realize, oh, we've been watching Twilight this movie. And it just kind of ruins it. And that's just going, you don't think about, I mean, again, I'm not of this mindset, like, oh, well, Lex and Lana, right?
Yeah.
Because she's a high schooler and he's an adult.
Yes.
Running $1 billion corporation. And she's a 17-year-old girl.
Running a coffee shop.
Well, maybe they're more common than we thought.
I see? Guess.
But you look at it through the lens of the later Smallville, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, like, kind of what you were talking about earlier. So.
Yeah, it's just weird because you can kind of see, like, when Lana, like, reacts to it, she's like, oh.
And then
thanks, Lex.
But then he, like, kind of takes a step back. He's like, oh, because, you know, I spend all my time with these corporate sharks, uh-huh. and it's nice to just come up for air in a nice, refreshing, lovely person like you. And then, of course, he sings the praises of all the Lana fans. Like, it's like the bounce beats of all the Lana fans.
Essentially.
You know? But then he takes another turn. He's like, hey, but you're leaving. So whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then he basically gives her this ultimatum. He's like, well, you need to decide. You're the girl who stays in a small town and enjoys gossiping with her friends in a coffee shop. Are you the girl that goes to Paris? And then she's like, oh. And by the way, you know, they've walked out of this room, around the hallway,
back to the same place.
Room.
Yeah.
So the geography is great. So do we finally get to the scene with Clark in the barn with Lionel?
That's correct. We
all
do.
All right. Thank you. So what happens here, Lance?
So Lionel's just waiting for Clark in this barn. And, like, it's just so funny. Like, you have billionaire, industrial tycoon, Lionel Luthor, like, important man in this DC universe, and, like, he's sitting here bargaining with a 17-year-old in his barn about, like, the whereabouts of the Starblade, because he knows that Clark, you know, probably knows something, and he wants him to talk to the Kawachi people to try and help Clark get the Starblade to him from Jeremiah.
Right, and Clark's like, well, they're not going to listen to me. He's like, oh, I think they believe you're a very special young man, as I do. I was like, what are we doing here? What are we saying? You know, what does he know? What does he not know? You know, but this is a good scene because Clark kind of stands up for himself. You
he
know?
Does.
Well, no, actually, I like the back and forth here because Clark, you know, growing a spine here and dealing with Lionel this season,
mm-hmm.
because he's like, well, it's something about, like, the family owning
the
case.
Oh, well, he's...
Lionel's like, what are you? Who owns
this
case?
He's like, your family certainly thinks they do.
Yeah. He's like, well, it's the same for you.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of go back and forth, and then he eventually ends with saying, like, my family might not own the caves, but they do own this barn, so get out. And I'm like, yeah, nice. Clark.
Right, Clark, I see you.
And so he, but then Lytle, like, he pulls the whole, like, I better say this so he thinks I'm Sagith, right? He's like, well, you can also, because he wants them to pass along a message, right?
Yes.
So then he's also like, well, you can also pass along that if they don't help, the Kawachi will find their friend and becomes a formidable nemesis.
Yes.
And then we get the trailer line, right? It's Clark. He's like, the friend who becomes the enemy.
Yes.
It's like, that is for... And I was like, excuse me? It's like...
Next time on Smallville.
Yeah, exactly. So we get that. And then is Pete the next scene? Do we get Pete at some point?
No. The next thing we get is Clark is, I guess, back at Central Kansas A&M because he goes to talk to Willowbrook about luring Jeremiah
again,
to him.
Again, he calls him to Mon again.
Yes, and the same thing.
Same
thing. However,
it's literally the third time that happens.
But there is something of note in this scene, though, because it happens at around the 24 and a half minute
That's
mark.
Right, yes.
The camera guy, like, runs into something.
So they're having this tracking shot, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they obviously went to a real location for this because clearly they didn't build this set. So that's some real,
so kudos to them.
You know, First Nations Museum or whatnot. And which I'm sure, actually, there's a lot of that in Canada, so that makes sense they'd have access to one. So good on them for doing that. And they have this cool tracking shot through the museum. They're going around and around Willowbrook and Clark. And then, you're right, like 24 and a half minutes, we made a note. The guy running the steady cam, as they call it, clearly hits something because it, like, makes a jerk to the right. And, you know, I've used steady cams and do work like that. I'm like, if that ever happens, like, all right, you're cut. This doesn't work. Maybe they tried it again and again and again. I don't know.
It didn't work.
That's funny because it reminds me of the last episode of Memorial. They deleted that scene at the start of the episode because the steady cam guy couldn't get the shot right. Like, didn't you fire your steady cam guy? Get a new one? It's just, look, that's hard work. Don't get me wrong. But if you're working on a main TV show, like, you should be able to get it right in at least the 3 or 4 takes they do.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's very obvious.
Yes,
like,
it is.
It's a boom.
Yeah, it's like this little jerking motion. It's like, oh.
He's clearly hit one of, like, the displays or something.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they just keep going. Yep. Hey, he recovered. I give him more credit. Like, he's, oh, and he pulled it back in. And
he
didn't just, because sometimes you can lose control of those things big time. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting technical blooper. Of
yeah.
So John Schneider, you should have caught that directly in the episode. So, so how do you think John Schneider's doing so far in this episode?
Pretty good job.
Yeah.
Pretty good job.
How many episodes do you think he directed in Smallville?
6.
Okay, less than that.
4.
One episode of Smallville.
No way!
The only episode Smallville directed. He pulled the short straw with this one, though. As Al Goff said, he's like, look, he got a bad episode here. You did a good job with it. But yeah, so Clark wants to send a message to Jeremiah, and Willowbrook's like, well, I can send it through the tribe, or whatever that means. Like, again, I was thinking smoke signals. Maybe that's bad. I just don't know.
Damn.
But that's what the show, I mean, what? How am I supposed to do this? Mark Snow's like, ooh. Like, every time, like, a Native American shows up, they just overdo it with the music, you know?
That is true.
So that's what I was thinking, smoke signals. But anyway, now we cut to the barn, and we get to the Clark sitting there. He's reading the book, trying to hide the kryptonite.
Not very well.
He's like, oh, let me just. It's like when you're, like, on your phone, like, you're not supposed to be, so, like, hold a book in front of it, and you're, like, doing something on your phone. That's what it looked like.
Like in the early days of, like, cell phone technology when you're at school. Like,
as if, like, he would know what's in that box, right? Mm. Like, so he shows up, he's like, I got a message from Willowbrook. He said that I'm the real Naaman, and he was wrong, but I have to kill you before I kill Sagith.
False prophet.
Yeah. And so then Clark, hello, he pulls out the thing.
Yeah.
Like, people, like, and it does nothing. Just the way he holds it, it's like,
he looks like he's morphing.
Time.
Yeah. It's morphing time.
Tyrannosaurus. And, you know, I gave the actor a lot of crap.
Yes.
Right. Jeremiah. But I like the scene. He just kind of laughs. He's like, what is this?
Yes, it's the best.
And he just throws it. Thank goodness he, because, again, he doesn't understand what it is. Or
yeah.
Weakens Clark. I guess he's not from Smallville.
Guess not.
He's from Central Kansas or whatever, A&M. So he doesn't know what a meteor rock is.
Hey, man, he's in grad school, man. I understand
that.
You
think he would have said, like, what is a meteor rock, you know?
Yeah.
Luckily, he throws it far away because he has super strength. And then Clark gets his, you know, powers back. I like this shot a lot.
Yes.
Because it's them super speeding, but, like
trying to grab
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that a lot because you see it's, like, blurred and stuff. So whenever you go into Clark time, bullet time for the Matrix, right, you see them reaching around each other. And then you see Jeremiah, like, get the blade and, like, stab Clark. And
then
do that, like, that second stab.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really, like, I learned from movies, like, when you kill somebody, you do that second stab. I don't know what exactly is going on inside your body when that happens, but...
But it's the slow knife.
Yes, it is. So, So then he super speeds off because he's pleasing himself because he thinks he killed the false prophet. And Clark kind of stumbles in to his house, knocks over the phone. You know, and he's just there bleeding out. And this is the scene where Jeremiah going to the party was going to be. And then because like the Kents are there, everybody's there. And then they realize like in the deletes, like, oh my God, where's Clark? So that's why they run and go home. Because then you know, you cut back to the Kents coming home. Right. And you think like, where were they? Just out on the town or something? Because they're dressed kind of nice.
Date night.
It's very unlike the Kents at this point. Date night for the Kents. So they come in and Clark's bleeding out on the floor of the house. He waited all the way to the house.
He did.
But he's pretty much passed out at this point. And this is, you know, when we went to Fandemic Tour in Houston, and John Schneider talked about directing this episode. And this is the moment he mentioned. He was like, yeah, he's like, we were directing this episode and Clark was bleeding in the kitchen. He'd been stabbed. And then, you know, Annette like slipped on the blood. And that was a little moment that we captured and put in there. And I thought it was a great moment. That's what he was saying. And I agree. It's a little human moment that you're like, oh man, this guy's, because that's the thing about, you know, when there's movies and there's violence and there's no blood, it's like, really? Like the PG-13ification of everything, like Venom, right?
Bad movie.
Venom is biting people's heads off and ripping people apart.
It's a terrible movie.
No blood. It's true. I don't know if you guys saw.
Stop seeing it, America. Stop encouraging this bad behavior and bad production on awful things.
For you.
Shut up, Bane.
You went from Bane to Venom.
God, Tom Hardy, get a better agent.
But at least Venom. I was trying to think of some way to say Bane didn't use Venom in the Dark Knight Rises, but at least he's finally on Venom.
Heyo.
As I tweeted.
Shame on everybody who was involved with Venom, especially you, Eminem. You know better.
As I tweeted, I forgive you, Spider-Man 3. But really, Spider-Man 3 better than Venom, right?
Oh, yeah.
Rank the Spider-Man movies before we go.
Spider-Man 2, Raimi. Spider-Man, Raimi. God.
Do it.
Spider-Man 3.
Got it!
And then... Spider-Man Homecoming, Amazing Spider-Man 2, a bunch of crap, Venom.
All right, that's where you're wrong, because I would rank Venom over the Amazing Spider-Man movies. I would have ranked, at the time, I ranked Amazing Spider-Man third, but the sequel was so bad that it like dragged the first one down the list with it. Because now I just can't associate either of those. So it's just this anchor. So I would do, you know, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man. Spider-Man 3. Then Spider-Man Homecoming. Then Venom. Then Amazing Spider-Man. Then Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3 and Homecoming.
Homecoming disqualifies itself for lots of reasons. If we want to talk about it, you can get at me.
Yes, Lance has very many strong opinions. A lot of hot takes, good takes on Homecoming. I know Michael Keaton, great as the Vulture, right?
Michael Keaton's great in everything.
Love him as Birdman in Spider-Man Homecoming. Yes. Anyway, how do we start talking about Venom?
Oh, blood.
No, yeah. There you go. There's our review of Venom. So, Jonathan is telling Martha, "Hey, hurry, Martha!" And like you really like, oh God, like
yeah.
You really, this is a good, this is a well seen here because you got the Kents, you know, Ned O'Toole, John Schneider. They're great parent acting here, right? Because they're really concerned. This reminds me again, talk about Smallville remix, right? This reminds me of Extinction when he gets shot. Yeah. He's bleeding on the floor. This is exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know? So, Smallville remix. So. John's like, oh, you better hurry, Martha. Like, he's barely has a pulse. And then, you know, Jonathan has his hands on his heart trying to, like, you know, jumpstart his heart.
Yeah.
And then his hands start glowing. There's glowing all around, right?
Yeah.
And Clark is healed.
And it's like,
what?
WTF.
You know, like, again, it needs to make sense in some way. Yeah. Like, when the ship saves him in Visage, it's like, oh, I can see that. It makes sense that the ship had neutralized Kryptonite because Clark be vulnerable to it, blah, 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 blah. Why is, you know, Clark comes to later. Mm-hmm. He's got the red cape around him, right?
He does.
And Clark's like, whoa, I guess I healed myself. And Martha's like, no, not really. Your father saved you. And he's like, how'd you do that? And they're like, Jor-El, he's not done with either of us yet, huh? That's like, really? The Deus Ex Machina now is Jor-El, right?
Yeah.
The Deus Ex...
Father.
Yeah, at this point, right? So, that's pretty weak.
A little bit, yeah.
Because they were hinting, like, is Jor-El going to take over Jonathan, right? And I guess that's kind of, it's sort of like, is that going on here?
Kinda.
Sorta, because Legacy was very vague about everything. And this is such like a, you know, a Kawachi Cave heavy episode to throw in the... I didn't see what Al Goff was talking about here. What, like, Jor-El, what is going on? Like, if you don't know anything about Smalley, you're so confused.
Very confused.
In this episode. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean, I like the lead up to it. I just don't like the resolution.
I agree.
But what are you going to do? Right? Nothing. Oh, I healed myself. Like, is that better? I do like that it's Kryptonian metal. And yes. They can hurt him. That's cool.
That is cool. That's
something that carries on through all lots of iterations of the comics and whatnot. So, I think somewhere in here is the Pete scene.
Somewhere in here, Bully. Yeah.
We kind of lost the thread on that one.
Yeah, because
let's talk about this Pete subplot.
It's just so weird. So,
like the how many scenes are this of there? I think there's three scenes of this.
Yes.
The first one is Chloe is at school.
Yeah.
And she's like has a coffee. Mm-hmm. And Pete's like,
early, so it's in the morning that day.
Yeah, so it's early in the morning,
and she sees Pete like there at the town
in the same clothes and the
as
torch.
Yesterday, and the torch.
See, I do the same thing. As
I
me.
Know, right?
T's,
T words.
How many letters are in torch? T O R C H. Yes. How many letters are in talent? T A L O N. Yes.
Uh oh.
Anyway, he's wearing the same clothes, right?
Yes.
And Chloe says something about laundry. I'm like, Clark wears the same clothes every day.
Red shirt, blue jacket.
Now this episode.
Yeah.
So he says something about laundry challenge and make a joke about it. And he kind of leaves real quick. She's like, wait, I'll walk the class with you. I guess not.
Yeah.
The bells ring. I guess she doesn't care about it.
Yeah, she doesn't care. Nah, she's going to be tardy.
Or maybe she doesn't have...
She's going to get Sparkle.
Sparkle. Was that a Dulles High School thing?
Yeah, it was.
Listeners, if anyone out there had Sparkle at their school, let me know. We always joke about that, like, because if you get in trouble, like, I don't know, like, you're tardy, you get, like, a week of Sparkle, which means you go around table to table and get trashed.
At lunch, yeah.
We always used to joke about, like...
We had a friend that, like, had it, like, every day, like...
Well...
For years, like, multiple years.
My joke was, like, you do something awful. Like, I don't know, like you know, you set a fire in the bathroom. Like, yeah. Oh,
it's a month of Sparkle
right there. It's like, no, sir, that's a felony, you know? Anyway... Lots of inside jokes, as you guys have come to expect from me and Lance doing podcasts
together. Yeah,
basically. So, that's scene one. Scene two is...
this one.
Yeah, this one where it's late.
It's late at night, and like Pete is trying to hide like his seat. You see him a sleeping bag, yeah. Like trying to put it back in his locker before Chloe can see it.
Yeah.
And he like lies about like, you know, staying up late and to do a term paper.
Again with the term paper. So... These term papers you're always writing. Okay, they do not call them term papers in high school.
That's
correct. They did this in, like, I think summer. Like, oh, you're studying for a term paper. Or whatever, midterm or something. No.
Now, so, you know, well, now, the education system in Kansas is different than Texas.
I don't want to hear it.
You never know.
I don't want to hear it. Nothing's different than what it is that I experienced in life. If it is, it's a continuity error. So... she's like, oh, hey, by the way, I saw your mom at the courthouse. He's like, stop.
Yes.
I like this, actually, right?
Yeah. And he's just like, look, he's like, you're always the, you know, the reporter and not the friend. And Chloe's like, well, I am your friend, Pete. And he's like, nah, I think I know which one comes first. And then, you know, she mentions, she's, you know, kind of like, I think Chloe's trying to be helpful, but like, I don't think she realizes that her Chloe-isms are just they're not cute right now. And that's when Pete is just like, not everything is public domain, Chloe.
I like that.
I like it too.
It's not a product place in feet, but it's the same. It's in the same family. It's the same vein of dialogue.
A little bit.
I like what he says. Like, look, now I understand why Clark is so mad. We dig into his life.
Yes.
So how do you think Sam Jones does in these scenes, Lance?
This one I thought was pretty good. Now low key, when Chloe like throws him the keys for the torch office, I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, give me damn keys!
Give me the damn keys! Oh, good times. I forgot about that. Yeah. Again, small little remix. So, yeah, something going on with Pete. I don't know. I guess he does fine. It's interesting that, spoilers, Pete's about to leave the show.
Yeah.
And they finally start giving him some
stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Reminds me of Star Trek Next Gen, right?
Mm-hmm.
With, like, Skin of Evil, Tasha Yar's last episode, Denise Crosby, like, She has a really good scene with like Worf at the beginning of the episode, and she was like, "Man, if they wrote more scenes like this for me, I wouldn't have left." It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, yeah. Just give these characters stuff to do before they leave.
And no, Lieutenant Yar.
No vaccine, no treaty, and no Lieutenant Yar. It's an inside Star Trek joke there for you. Code of Honor, the worst episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, arguably.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, it's entertaining though.
It is, but. It's also bad.
As bad as this episode is to Native Americans, that is to African Americans.
Yes.
But anyway, lots of again, look, in an episode like this, we're just having fun. We're going on some tangents. Just bear with us. Yeah. We're trying to be more enjoyable than the episode itself. Because it's a slog, guy. This was a sloppy.
Yeah.
Not to jump ahead, but this episode is so sloppy. This plot line with Pete. Totally out of place.
Yes.
I haven't seen a subplot this out of place since like season one. I thought Smallville had moved past this, but it's like, well, let's get this Pete divorce subplot in here,
right? Yeah, because like stuff like this, subplots like this was reserved for Whitney.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, like WB, like Dawson's Creek, Seventh Heaven. This is the kind of plot Everwood. These are the kind of plot you would see on those shows.
Yep.
So that happens in this scene. So she is upset and leaves, and he's going to go print out his term paper, but that really means stay there.
Yes.
And then Clarky, you know, he comes, we'll cut back to what we're talking, we cut back to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, getting back to what we're talking about, Clark wakes up, he has his red Superman cape on, which is like the standard blanket in Smallville. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the pilot, we see it around, and we see it in the hospital in season four, right? Any excuse to get this guy in a red cape, because God forbid he will not wear it of his own volition.
That's also true.
And, that's also true. I do like here where he like gets him. He's like, "Well, I gotta stop him." And Martha's like, "Oh, he almost killed you before." And John's like, "Let him go, let him go, Martha." Again, much like Leech, right?
Yeah.
And when Leech was like inspiring, this one's like, "Yeah, okay, I guess." It's like this is what he has to.
He's like, "Oh, we got 10 minutes left in the episode.
Yeah, let's wrap this sucker up.
Do it."
So he runs off. The cape drops behind him. You know, same cape is in action, right? Yeah. People are like, that's a great scene. I'm like, that's a terrible scene. That's like, oh, this is my destiny. Screw this. I'm going inside to live with Lana at my parents' house. Like that's what you're doing in season seven, man.
Yeah.
Oh boy! But we get Lionel tied up in the because this is the ADR moment we're talking about. He's like, "Lex called last night. Jeremiah has Lionel." That's basically what. But it sounded natural, so it did. On him.
He has Lionel in the sunken place.
Because John Glover was directing. He's like, "No, we're gonna make this sound right."
Yeah.
So we also skipped a scene where it was part of that deleted scene. Jeremiah like shows up, but instead in the episode, instead of like finding out where he is because of Lex and the party and choking Lana, he's the driver the whole time.
Yeah.
Which it's like, okay, I like that. That's pretty good. Now, where was he? Oh, he was at the Kent farm.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
He just took him from there.
I think you got yourself a half point back, show in my book. But so he takes him to that
the sunken place.
Yeah. The sunken place. And he's all tied. Again, if he didn't go through all this ritual crap, would could have killed him just like that, right?
It's true.
But he's got him tied up and got this Native American, like,
has a symbol
painted on. Symbol. So, what is it with the show and like symbols on people's chests? I don't get it.
Because it's all about symbolism.
It's open to interpretation. So he's got him tied up and all this. He's got a blindfold on.
Yeah.
Because God forbid he sees Clark use his powers.
That's correct.
Right? That's the whole point of the blindfold. And
Clark comes in with a proper tackle.
Yeah, that was like, it's football. I can see the seats.
Hey, you know what? That is a legal tackle. So NFL, look at that. Maybe that's how quarterbacks are supposed to be sacked.
Waiting to the last second, though, right? Because he's about to punt, and he's like, boom, and he comes out of nowhere. And then they start fighting. You know, for a little bit, on and off, this is a pretty good fight, right?
It is. I like what they do. And then, like, you know, Nathaniel, who plays Jeremiah, does a little, like, you know, nice little jump up.
He can tell he's a stuntman.
Yeah. Clark, you know, has a good swing with the tree.
Yeah, the tree.
Clark gets knocked into a tree, and then, like, he uses said tree to, like, hit Jeremiah.
Again, Smallville remakes past and future, reminding me of the Bizarro fight in season 7 premiere.
Yeah.
Because there's a shot on, like, the same forest, because I think somebody picks up a tree and hits him with it. So that's the problem with the show runs for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, you know, at the time, you won't get to see a lot of equally superpowered fights in the show, right? Now there's no Kryptonians around yet, that kind of thing. So it's cool when two people have superpowers and they're fighting, and we get to see some of that here. And I think, you know, it's solid stuff. And I think that's something that kind of stuck out to me when we first saw it back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, you see it? He picked up a tree, man, the superpowered stuff. So That's cool. Then, so meanwhile, this is going on. Lex has come. Like, I don't know how Lex is found.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Lionel, that's not even part of the deleted scene. No,
it's just something. He's just there.
He has a tracker on his dad. Maybe he should at this point. Who knows?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, don't worry, Dad. I'm gonna get you out of here." And as Clark and Jeremiah are fighting, they super speed into each other,
mm-hmm.
and the blade flies up in the air and then lands straight on the altar where Lionel is tied up.
Yep.
First of all, I guess he had to be touching the like the whole time, or at least be in contact with it to give him the powers.
Yeah.
That's a little excessive, just I think, because he has this, you know, I will say it's a pretty cool sheath he has behind him. That's pretty cool. I'll buy that at Renfest or something.
There you go.
What about the Starblade, man? All right, I have the octagonal disc. I want the Starblade next. But do not give me those damn crystals of power. I will send them back. So, you know, flies up and lands right, as only does in movies, right? Lands like blade down into this altar. And then we see Lionel and Lex looking at it, right? And it starts glowing. And then Clark super speeds over, and we get this cool, like, kind of point of view shot.
He's
watching way from behind, behind him, and he sees them both reach for it. And then we see them both reach for it at the same time. At the same
time!
Superman 3 is underrated. And it disappears. And you're like, oh, is one of them Sagitt? One of them not? Because, you know, we talk about the Clovis theory, which I think was a solid theory at the time. Mm-hmm. There was another theory. It was like, man, Lionel's more like Lex than Lex is. How can Lex and Clark not be friends anymore? I know. Lionel's going to transfer his brain into Lex. I'm like, you know what? That's actually a pretty good comic book idea.
Yeah.
And then when Lionel shaves his head at the end of the season, he's like, oh, he really is going to pass. And then he gets the freaking transference crystal and tries to become Lex. I mean, like, that really does tease you. Much like, it's like, and I don't know if they'd ever admit this or not, but like they get these fan theories and they kind of tease him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the Chloe Lois thing was like, they teased the crap out of that for a long time. Killing Lois on and off, you know, all this, the Chloe and the pseudonyms and the name tags of the desk and all this stuff. So what if they did that? What would you think about that?
I would have thought it was pretty cool. Pretty ballsy.
Yeah, but see, part of the tragedy of Smallville is like the Lex Clark thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm glad they didn't.
You know what that'd be like, Lance?
What?
That'd be like in the series finale of the show.
Oh, God.
If Lex, like, lost all his memories or something. That would just totally erase all the character development that had happened. And it just wouldn't be fair to the character or the show. And it would really make the whole journey of Lex Luthor pointless on the show. So I'm glad they didn't go that direction while becoming Lex Luthor.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
But, I mean, what are they really trying to say? They're not trying to imply that to the audience. They're just trying to confuse Clark.
Yeah.
Because at the end, right, because, you know, the next scene is him talking to the kids.
Yeah.
By the way, we have a
KO to keep Clark secret.
We
right
do because Jeremiah is out of here.
Boom,
also
out of here.
Also, we have two Chloe's unseen connections in that Pete scene.
Yeah,
she's like, oh yeah, well I've talked to my guy, and oh I was talking. And he mentions, oh no, then Lana says Chloe has some connections. So again, this episode's a mess. So just
they're there.
Go with it. All right, we're gonna do our tally word at the end. Everything will be accounted for. But I just remember that we skipped those earlier. So we have Clark talking to the blade's gone.
Yeah,
right. And they're like, inside the altar. It's inside the wall. Lionel does mention that his plan was to melt down the Starblade.
Yes, to make another key.
But there's no keyhole, is there? And why does he make a kryptonite key? Also, I thought, honestly, this whole time I thought he wanted the Starblade so he could have superpowers and not die. Mm. Did they forget about that?
Apparently.
Because I thought, I was like, oh, that's why you want it. But instead, it's like, let me melt it down and make a key.
He wants the secrets of the cave.
So anyway, Clark and his parents are talking about this in the next scene, and he explains to him, he saw them both reach for the knife at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, which one grabbed it first? And he's like, I don't know, but I don't need a prophecy to tell me that Lionel Luthor's a bad person. And thank you, Martha's like, well, you know, if you're gonna believe this crap, or she's, if you're gonna believe this, I don't know, because he's been fighting it the whole episode.
Yeah.
And then he like finally is like, well, I think I believe it now. She's like, if you're going to believe this prophecy, you need to accept the fact that Lex could be your greatest enemy.
Yeah. And then he finally is like, I'm not ready to believe that yet.
So,
which is nice, but it's like, you sure have a hell of a way of showing that, Clark.
Well, and again, this ties back into like, he should have thought it was Pete. Like, do something interesting with Pete.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
Yeah.
Please. You know? Well, because you never think your greatest enemy is going to be your greatest enemy at the time.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, right now, I don't know that you're going to be my greatest enemy.
Likewise.
Friends, right?
Yeah.
So, you know. Then we cut back to this is the third final Pete scene here.
Yeah,
right?
Like Chloe wakes him up.
He's like, that was actually pretty good. Like, Chloe gets at school early in the morning. Again, I don't know what day it is or what time it is at this point. We're just this episode, so I don't even want to nitpick that. Yeah. There's enough real problems with this episode.
Yeah.
And he's like sleeping with the torch and stuff. She's like, my parents split. I hid out in the garage. And I thought to myself, she's like, I didn't have a driver's license yet. I thought to myself, didn't your mom leave when you're like 5 or 6?
Something like that.
So yeah, you didn't have a driver's license again. Come on, Joe. Yeah. Step your continuity game up. But they, you know, they try to like bond over this like parents getting divorced thing. What did you think of this?
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's so like WB, right?
It is.
And I half expected like a PSA to come at the end. Like Samuel's like, if your parents are going through a divorce, call this number. It's like, I don't know. Like, it just felt that after school special.
A little bit. Kind
of
thing.
And we, you know, both of our parents are split, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I guess I see what. Good on you for trying to represent that, but
yeah.
I don't know if this was the way to do it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It didn't speak to me.
Same.
As a child of divorce, this scene did not speak to me.
Likewise.
So, there you have it. And then, hey, McCloy gives him a hug at the end. You're like,
she does.
Get it, Pete. But.
He's not.
No, he's not. Not today, Pete. We do establish that she took a job in Wichita.
Yes.
And his mom took a job in Wichita. So is he going to move? Is he not? We address that in the next episode.
Find out next time.
I'm always on Smallville. Until then, no. We got more to talk about, unfortunately. So... That's everything in that scene, right? I mean, is there there's really nothing left there.
However, it does take us to, it takes us back to the Talon.
Oh my God, just take us away.
and Lana triumphantly tells Lex, I'm the girl that goes to Paris.
Yeah, and he's like, disappointed
Damn.
By this?
Yeah,
he's like, I guess I pushed too hard. You know, he like played hard to get too hard, and she's like, all right, well, I'm out of here. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm recontextualizing these scenes.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, what's going on here? So, but yeah, she basically says, well, she reveals here in this scene, because in the episode it had been deleted, that Chloe and her dad wanted to buy it. Again, her dad has a job.
Yeah.
She's like, he could use the work. I'm like, how's he going to buy it? It's like, take out a loan, all this.
He wanted to get a business loan.
We can think it's your pod, and I'll raise it for you. My ship will be the entry fee. It's like, what is this convoluted plot? So... Yeah, it's just she like walks off, and this time Lex is the one standing at the Talon by himself.
Yeah,
I
messed that up.
Messed that one up. So that she's going to Paris, everybody.
Yep.
So again, it's like remember season one was like every character's leaving, right?
Yes.
It's like Whitney's leaving,
mm-hmm.
Lex is leaving,
mm-hmm.
Chloe's leaving. You're like, oh, and everybody's back, but except for Whitney.
Yeah.
This season three is setting up like everyone's leaving. You know, like Pete's gonna move, Lana's gonna move, and you're like, okay, well, moving on from Smallville, that would have made sense. It's like season 4, maybe believed it, but season 3, and you're like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about that in the next couple episodes, unfortunately. But then we get the best scene.
Yes, and the funny thing is, it starts off like Clark's at the barn, and then Lex shows up, and he's like, surprise, and I'm like, is this a reference to the party? Didn't happen or did happen?
Well done, Lance. They didn't.
So good.
Like, could they have cut around that? Like,
yeah, because he just says it and Clark just doesn't respond.
Much like me, because I was like, oh, that's a good call. I didn't even think about that being a reference to the surprise party, because they're all supposed to pop out and say surprise,
yeah.
And it was Jeremiah, it wasn't Clark.
Exactly. So that was immediately what I thought. I was like, so like the fact like, so he's just kind of like throwing some shade at Clark, because like, you know, he didn't show up for the surprise party that they threw him.
Doesn't bring him a gift either,
nope.
Does he? Clark sucks at these birthday parties. He doesn't show up at Lana's party in season
one?
Yeah. Because he was fighting Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this one too. So, That's a good call. I thought that was odd that he said surprise. Like, I mean, what were you talking about? Like, you show up here unannounced all the time.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, but then they're talking about...
the legend.
Well, he's reading the book.
Yeah.
Like, Clark... You read a lot. Why are you still reading that page?
I don't know.
But he's like, may I? I have a new interpretation of the...
He's like, go ahead.
Yeah, so he gives... Clark gives Lex the book, and he's looking at it. He's like, so this is the Hmong guy, right? Like, he's supposed to have the strength of 10 men, shoot fire from his eyes, you know?
Just an allegory, Lex.
Yeah. He's just trying to talk to him. He's like, oh, no, I see where this is going, right? And he's like, he's come from the stars, you know. If he could be a tyrant. If Marty was around to keep him check, you know, if anyone stood up to him, you have to be pretty brave. And he tells Clark, has it ever occurred to you that the hero of the story is Sakeith? End of episode. And I mean, this is good.
It is.
Just, I don't know why we think. Why do we think this is funny?
I don't know. We just did. Like when we saw this with like when we were in high school, when we first saw this, we thought it was hilarious. I don't know why.
It's mythology overload. I think, right? Because yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. I mean, yes, Lex Luthor thinks he's the hero of the story. That's what makes him such a fascinating villain.
I am the hero of the story.
I'm the villain of the story.
Villain of the story. That's right.
Talk about undercutting all this. I am the villain of the story. Wow. Anyway, Al Goff said this in the companion about this scene. I think people will talk about that scene because it's the perfect supervillain justification. You think you're the good guy. Lex makes a good point. If an alien came to Earth, whoever had to deal with that person would be a hero. It's how he justifies things to himself.
Yeah.
And I agree. Look at all these alien invasion movies, right? Who's the one guy? The Will Smith.
Yeah.
Welcome to Earth. All right. He doesn't really say Earth, by the way. Doesn't. People exaggerate that. Yes. But, it's on our collective consciousness. He does say Earth. But, you know, no, it makes sense. I mean, we see all these alternate versions of Superman where he's evil and whatnot, you know, and like Earth,
Sun, for example.
Earth 3, uh-huh. Right? And then you got Red Sun and all that. So Lex Luthor is the champion of Earth, stand up to him. So if things are just a little different, you know, Lex really would be justified in hating Superman. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that again, layers to Lex Luthor and talking about, you know, the whole, like, conversation with Lionel and Lex back in Memoria, talking about the dragon in St. George, and Lex kind of sees himself as that mythological hero. You see the seeds of that, and I really like that. Again, like, the show really adds so much layers to Lex Luthor, who, I don't know, I mean, in the comic books, yes, he had been an interesting character before this, but in you know, live action, certainly not. Mm-hmm. So, well, Lois and Clark did him pretty well, but he was only there for one season, so there wasn't, you know, that much to go off of. Only one season, not that long. I mean, the episodes, scenes like this are why Michael Rosenbaum is the Lex Luthor. Michael Rosenbaum, man, he like saves this episode so many ways. Again, the whole conversation between him and Clark at the college,
that was so good.
It's term paper. And then this one here, like, you know, just again, the best Lex, right? Yeah. And that's a great justification. And this is like, it's good. I mean, out of context, it probably went a lot better. But this episode, as I said, is so mythology heavy, mm-hmm. right? And it's tough to like listen to yet another.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. But is this the last time we hear about Sagith until like season 8, isn't it?
I think it is.
Way to go, Smallville. Mm-hmm. Hey, but at least I got that Lionel Luthor
wound
continuity going for him.
Yep.
This Naman guy is supposed to come from the stars, have the power of 10 men, and shoot fire from his eyes, right?
It's just an allegory, Lex.
I know. But if one person could do all that, he would be a formidable enemy. Could conquer the world. He could become a tyrant if nobody kept him in check. So I've been thinking. Anybody who'd be willing to fight him would have to be pretty brave. Clark, did it ever occur to you that maybe the hero of the story is Sagith?
Talisman got an 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Mm. So right down the middle for these guys. Lance, I ask you, what would you give Talisman?
C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
C minus is harsh, so I think I'll give it a C.
That's
as
what I was actually thinking, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Stick with the C.
I mean, there's a lot of ridiculous. Some kernels are great.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bad rehash of other things past and future. You can't accuse it for being a rehash of things that haven't happened yet. But things that have been done better before and things that are done better later in the show.
Yeah.
That is what happens in this episode. So right down the middle, I'll give it a C, and there you have it. So, series tally board, Lance. Mm-hmm. We have a plus one, or actually a plus two for Chloe's unseen connections.
Yes.
Because she mentions that somebody at the courthouse with Pete, and then she mentions something else, or does Lana mention something? Where's the second
one? She mentioned somebody, something else. Oh, her her contact at Bell Rev about Jeremiah, how he's going to be in, he's gonna be in a coma for the rest
of his life. Clark's like, oh, Chloe's so that's a plus two for Chloe's unseen connections. That brings us to 16. We have a plus one for hospital visits. It brings us to 45 because Lionel went to the hospital. We have a plus one for chaos to keep Clark secret because Jeremiah is going to be in a coma for the rest of his life, like so many of these characters.
Yep.
Just like Dr. Garner last week. Uh-huh. So that brings us up to 20. And that's going to do it.
You sure? That's it?
I think so.
Dang.
Did I forget something?
I'd love to count that Jeep as a Kent truck explosion, but it's not accident, but it's not happening.
I feel like, all right, and this is, I will add this. If someone wants to go back, I'm looking at you, Corey Moore.
Yeah.
If someone, because you're my stat guy. If someone wants to go back and count how many times they were almost going to close the Talon or almost sell the Talon, I'm pretty sure this is like the fourth time.
Yeah.
Maybe the fifth. I mean, let's think about it, right? I think, I don't know if you want to count that. This is just conversation. We'll have somebody, we'll have somebody firm this up later. I'm making up for last week and there was no tally board.
Gotcha.
Zero, right? When it opened, there was like the dead hand in it. Like, oh, we're going to close this thing.
Yeah.
And then in Heat, Lex is going to close it because Desiree tells him to.
Yep.
And then, you know, when Lex died, were they going to do it in like Phoenix and XL? I don't think so. I don't think there was anything like that.
Were they going to do it when?
Lucas Luthor.
Yeah.
Prodigal. So that's three.
Okay.
And then maybe that one.
Arkham Adam Knight?
No.
He was just living there.
Yeah, he was living there.
God.
This would be four, though.
Right? Yeah.
So yeah, look that up. Corey Moore, help me out, or anybody. But I know you're my stat guy, man. So I think, so if we can get somebody to confirm that for us, what should be closing the talent? Close for business.
Close for business.
That's going to be it. We have to do it now because I thought of a catchy title. Closed for business. Because I was, what was it? Was it an Arby's? Remember that? Was it an Arby's? Back where we used to live on, in off 288?
Uh-huh.
Probably Houston Heights back there.
Yep.
I think it was an Arby's, right?
It was.
And there was a sign. It's a closed for business. It's like, that doesn't make sense. That's not what that phrase means. It's open for business makes sense. Closed for business does not. I think I have a picture of it somewhere on an old iPhone. But anyway, that's going to be the category. Somebody have, once we get that confirmed, the exact number of times the Talon was almost closed or going to be closed or something, we will add that to the closed for business. Oh, that was worth the whole episode right there. Not really. So, Bechdel test, pass or fail?
Fail.
What did Chloe and Lana talk about, though?
They talked about her getting into Paris, but then it quickly turned into, in the episode, about Lex getting, Lex helping her out. Now, granted, Lana did not want to ask Lex for help.
I'm going to call this a pass, though.
Okay.
Because they're not talking about, relationship. They're talking about...
That's true.
Because that's the thing. It's like, this guy, relationship drama. Like, this is like, hey, my business, and this guy, and the money. So I'm going to say it's a pass.
Okay.
So...
Cool. Well, Lord knows we need more passes.
Yes. Lord knows. We need him now. That's Anthony Michael Hall in The Dark Knight. So that's going to do it. This episode of Always Sold in the Smallville. That was a fun journey. Lance, where can people find you out there on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on Twitter. So direct any of your theories and like any gripes that you might have about me hating on Spider-Man Homecoming to that. I'll take questions there.
All right, as for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM network. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise over there. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. Find us on Facebook at AlwaysHoldOnToSmallville. And you can send us an email at AlwaysMallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. All right, well, Lance will be back next week.
Can't get rid of me.
He'll be back talking about Forsaken, which is Pete's last episode ever. He never comes back and never has a terrible return episode in season 7. It's the last time we see Pete. No, it's the last time we see Pete. as a regular.
Yeah.
Since I'm Clark, Lance is Pete. He's got to be on that one.
Yes.
And Sally will never hear from Lance again until until episode Hero in season 7. No, he'll be back. But we had to do that one together. So we had a see around Pete moment. And did Pete? This is Hero for you, Pete.
This is
Lance. Whatever your name is.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
He's back. Lance is back. He's been a roadie for All American Rejects, and he's been chewing some. Is it All American Rejects? Is it?
I can't
remember. Or did they play like at prom or something? Lifehouse. Who is it? Who is the band in Hero? I don't know. But anyway, all hero jokes aside, Lance is back in town.
I am.
On a more permanent basis, so you'll be hearing more of him. And so there you go. So he's back next week to talk about Forsaken. So you can look forward to another great conversation. I don't know. Like, that one, again.
Well, we always have stuff to talk about these episodes.
There's stuff to talk about.
The vibe will be different for that one.
The vibe, like, we had a very, like, controlled, intellectual, level-headed conversation last week, the Memorial. That episode called for that.
Yes.
These kind of episodes, they call for one like this. Or at least we have fun talking about it. And we hope you guys have fun listening to them. But, again, we're coming back, the two of us, next week, talking about Forsaken. Until then, always, hold on to Smallville. Break her to make all your dreams come true. Well, don't keep away.